We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. Nick Dab, baby. We the new label.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now this the black sheep sticking it to him. I need a crib like I'm Gatsby.
I need it
in hand, just understand my pocket's that deep. With nothing to prove, I ain't got nothing to do. And I can't compete and I got nothing to lose. You see, they told me I'm the one that's gonna benefit. Never been a threat, talking out of line, but never let me.
Yes, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to Veterans Minimum, the number one sports betting vibe on the internet. I'm your host, Nick Dais. At NickDais10 is where you can find me. All things Veterans Minimum are at Veterans Minimum. Shout out to Sticky Paws Studio having us in the building once again. We'll address what's been happening over at the Win on a later episode. But for now, we are here. And joining me to my right, Josh Williams.
Hey, look, listen, I don't have any complaints about the Sticky Paws situation right now. I do miss the Win. You know, listen, the Win is, there's a feel that you that comes over you every time that you have to go into the studio over there. I'm not going to lie. The first time that you had me on this show, and I was like, Jesus Christ, this is beautiful. You can tell me you had some plush stuff situations over here. So every time I go there, that is still a feeling that comes over. But this right here, there is no commute. So, I have no problems with
it. Yeah, and also,
I'm on time. See, you don't have to worry about me being late.
Come on, baby. Who better than Josh?
You feel great. You know what I mean?
I'm the one late now.
Yeah, hey, it is what it is.
Shit. Who would have thought that would ever happen, man? You know, the one thing I do miss the most, though, and I mean, I'm there every day, but I'm just not recording VM there for the time being.
Yeah.
A lot of nice things walk by, bro.
Yep.
And
so you have me my back to the glass.
Yeah, because you get too distracted. It's too bad with you. You don't know how to be a professional. I know how to separate business and pleasure. You can't, but you know what? This is why. Shit is just how it is. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, okay? We're going to get to the point where we have interns. It is just like, I just have to do the cuckoo and go get that.
I would tell, and it still is, because I'm, like I said, I'm there all the time, but bro, best wingman I've ever had. And now I got the puppy. Oh, I mean, fantastic, bro.
At least your puppy's friendly. My dog, she's not very friendly, and then she's not friendly looking.
Yo,
so you're already on tilt.
I don't know. I think Dars, the name of my dog,
yeah,
obviously on brand. It all depends on how he's feeling, dude. Because true story, I took him to a dog park because now he got all his immunizations.
Okay.
Took him to a dog park on Saturday, and bro, a 12 out of 10 has like a husky. And she's like, oh my God, your dog is so cute. And I'm like, yeah, he is. Yo, she walks over and he fucking goes crazy.
Like not happy?
Like not happy, barking, jumping at her. And I'm like, oh, he's never done this. And like, legit, he's never done this, bro. I'm like, yo, Dars, what are you doing, bro? She's bad as hell.
He's going crazy.
And then I picked him up. I was like, oh, sorry. I don't know. He's probably not feeling it, you know. And then I walked away and I was like, damn it, this fucking dog, bro. That could have been the one, but
you can't be the wingman in the cock block at the same time.
He's been good, man. But with the studio too, like the studio has been this. The amount of times where I'll just point at the door, and then if I'm not recording, I'll be like, "Yo, come to the door.
Yeah,
what's up? Have you ever seen the place? No, I haven't. Oh, come on, let me give you a tour. In, bro. Tremendous.
Have you been socializing him? Have you been bringing him around people?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's the biggest thing. You gotta bring him around people as much as you can, especially right now as he's young, because that's how he will become more and more comfortable around people. Like, my dog doesn't like other dogs at all.
Well, so I had to leave him.
She's a bit of a bitch.
Twice in like the last month on weekends, because I went to Indy and then I went to Miami, and two different people watched them.
Okay.
And they were saying how, yeah, this dog is like perfect. I was like, oh, that's great. You know, because the last thing you want to do, bro, is watch someone's puppy or dog and it's a piece of shit. Because like everybody likes dogs, but they also like their dog.
Yeah.
You know? So it's cool that he's starting off on the right foot. But he also is a little cock blocked, that little bastard. So, you know, it is what it is, like Cam and Mace would say. All right. Let's dive into a couple things on the menu. Heavy, heavy gambling as always, but this time more so than ever. Josh, I want to start with March Madness. You've been watching the tournament?
Not as much, man. Like I've told you, when Georgetown is trash, there's only so much that I really follow. I follow obviously just, you know, because this is the space that we're in. But living and dying on every matchup and kind of watching everything, I haven't been watching. I've seen some of the upsets. You know, I think the biggest thing right now really is that what we're seeing is these mid-majors, these schools that don't have a whole bunch of transfers, don't have a whole bunch of freshmen. Jay Wright was actually talking about it. I'm actually going to post it on my page. You know, he said the time of having a whole team of freshmen and you win and go deep, that time is dead. That time is over. Those kids might get to the league. They might be better than these other kids that are juniors and seniors, but these are grown men that they're playing, and these are grown men that know a system, and they know the ins and out of a system. They're emotionally capable of these moments, whereas you're still asking a baby to rise to an occasion that they haven't experienced. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's definitely something to kind of keep an eye on as you are betting and are looking at matchups. Like, okay, who are the main people that they're saying, okay, Nick, you're the guy. Nick's going to get me 18 tonight, but Nick is also a baby. Mm. There's a chance that Nick might have a bad night. You know what I mean? Like, Nick hasn't seen and hasn't felt all these emotions.
And also the pressure now and the magnitude of being in the tournament as opposed to
talking about it.
A home game on a Tuesday against
Middle Tennessee State.
Right.
That's always my go-to random one.
But they won a game in the tournament right?
Like they're not as trash as they used to be, so I got to find a new school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Marist or something. I got to find somebody else.
Shout out to Marist, yo, in New York. Shout out to Marist. It's definitely in New York. But nah, dude, I feel you, right? And it's weird because everybody knows my stance on college sports in general. If it's a big time, like, if it's like a big time football game, you know, LSU, Alabama, and both teams are undefeated, I'll watch that. I'll go out my way to watch it. And that's what I mean. Like, when my sports consumption, especially doing this now as a career, bro, I used to be like you, where I was watching every Ranger game, every Mets game. Obviously, I'm saying in regards to your team.
Yeah.
Bro, I was watching every soccer league, basketball. I was watching everything.
Yeah.
And then as you start doing the content, you start seeing what works. Baseball doesn't do well nationally. In the pod, I would describe it as a national pod. I don't really cover New York sports.
Yeah.
I bring my New York flavor and I talk about my New York teams, but I would never describe Veterans Minimum as a New York podcast.
No, and I wouldn't either. It's a national podcast.
Right. So if I just start telling people the 1-9 lineup for the Mets, Not 90, but a hefty amount of my audience will be like, bro, we don't care about that shit. We don't care about you previewing the Padres and Mets series.
Yeah.
Now,
not the Padres and the Mets.
Padres are my go-to, the way you said Middle Tennessee State. But you start to realize what works and what doesn't work. Now, baseball preview shows, mm-hmm. especially from a betting standpoint, like, yo, who's your dark horse to win the division? Like, bro, the Orioles, either last year or the year before, won the division. They were like 50-1.
Last year.
They were like 50-1. Like, I didn't realize that. That's a crazy bet. Like, they were like the Houston Texans, 25-1 to win the division at the start of the year. Those are basically equivalent to a legitimate team to win a Super Bowl or a championship.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're never going to find 120-1 odds. I mean, does it happen? Sure, occasionally, but more times than not, your winner in any league, if you look at the history of any league in odds perspective, it's a top six favorite.
Mm.
You know, like the NFL, 9 of the last 10 Super Bowl winners have been preseason top five favorites.
Okay.
The only exception were the Rams.
Oh, okay.
Who were the sixth.
Okay.
And
Where were your Giants? Back the last time that you guys won, that was what, 2011?
They were 40-1, so they were like
that was a solid one.
Right, that was a solid one.
Yeah,
but that it doesn't happen often.
Yeah,
you know, we got a Euro Cup coming later in a couple of months. Your winner is going to be in the top six names, the top six countries. World Cup the same. Like this idea of, I don't know.
Cinderella's.
Like Sweden is going to win. They're probably not, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So where I'm getting to and why I bring this all up is because you see a lot of, and you didn't really get as many upsets. I know, shouts to Maddie Betts. He's been on the show a bunch, friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
He was betting every single underdog.
Every dog.
And he's down bad.
The first two days were amazing. First 2 days he was up. Remember, he was up like I think like 3,500 or something like that.
You got Yale as a big dog that won. You had UAB. You had some, you know, Oakland.
Shouts to Oakland. Huge dog.
Oakland had the recipe, man. The random white dude that hits threes. I say this all the time and people laugh at me. Every NCAA team needs the one random ass white dude that's like way older than he should be.
He's 26.
Right? He's 24. Gokley.
Uh-huh.
Went bananas in that first game. They upset Kentucky.
Waiting for my moment.
Had his moment. And like, I would say he was the star of the first two rounds.
Yes.
Dude was on Pat McAfee.
Oh, AB. I didn't know that.
Yeah, AB. That. Have you been following Antonio Brown on Twitter?
It's a sad bit of business.
Bro. Is it sad? Yeah. Also, hilarious.
he does this thing called
Cracker of the Day.
I've not seen that.
He picks a random white dude. He puts a picture of him. It's like Cracker of the Day. And he had him as his Cracker of the Day. And he was on Pat McAfee. And he was like, yo, bro, my whole group chat. Like, this dude won the opening weekend, bro, because he's on Pat McAfee. AB shouts him out. And then he was like, yo, of everything I accomplished yesterday, this morning, all my boys were sending me Antonio Brown's thing, the Cracker of the Day.
Mama, I made it.
You made it, bro.
They didn't believe in us.
But, dude, I think there's a lot of truth to that, right? Because I think one of the reasons, and this is all from conversations I've had with friends, like my buddy Boss, who used to be on the show with me, loves basketball, college basketball, loves college sports, went to Syracuse. He's a Syracuse alumni.
Oh, juice that orange. Go Hoyas.
My boy Eric, shouts to Eric, who I was in Miami with for UFC, he went to UConn.
Okay.
Man, they love
around the Big East.
They love college sports.
Yeah.
And I would ask them, I'm like, yo, what's changed?
Okay.
And they would tell me, they're like, bro, no one sticks around anymore.
And I say the same.
And it's not a bad thing. Like, bro, if I have an opportunity to go to the league, I'm going to the league. If I'm ready, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is, that's why I think the women's rivalries are so popping.
Yes.
Because
they don't move.
They've been there for so long. And like the chick Caitlin Clark, she's been at Iowa for a minute now. Angel Reese at LSU. The chick Juju Watkins at USC now.
But do you see how you can just rattle off so many female names off the top of your head?
That's a good one.
Is because, and I've said this, and now other, it's funny, after, you know, when you say something and then all of a sudden it just starts circulating like nationally, like, I said that about a month ago.
Yo, real quick, and I'll let you get to your point.
Sure.
After Mahomes played his second ever NFL game as a starter,
okay,
I compared him to Steph Curry.
Okay.
I was like, bro, it's the same. Like, people are showing up to watch him pregame workout.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then everyone started running with it. Mm-hmm. Everyone that's listened to VM from then, like 2018, 2019, I said that shit. And then everyone was making the comps. And I was like, this is when I wish I had a bigger platform. Like, yeah. I don't mind building.
Yeah.
I don't mind the slow build. But yeah. This is where I was like, damn, bro, why couldn't I have like a huge fucking platform?
So Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, they said they were basically talking about how women's athletics, like women's March Madness, is honestly been more exciting than men's because we know the names of the women. Like, I know Angel Reese. I know Caitlin Clark. I know Juju Watkins. I know, what's her name? You know the cast of characters because it does help build the rivalries. And the thing that's really changed over the last, I'd say, 10 years out of college, when all the one and dones really became the new thing, everybody's one and done. And it's truthfully the biggest thing that's harmed the NBA, in my opinion, is because these dudes are coming to the league. You don't know where they went to college. I don't know. Whereas before, Lonzo Mourning, Georgetown. You know what I mean? Grant Hill, Duke. Like, all these guys came from established situations. They came from established rivalries. College was the greatest brand creator for the NBA. They got to the NBA, Christian Laettner was already hated. People already hated him by the time he got there. You know what I'm saying? That dynamic has been gone for years. Dudes have to get to the league, and it's like, why do I know you? Why do I care?
Yeah. It's also when you come from a certain program,
mm-hmm.
you kind of know the pedigree of that player immediately.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Duke. Like, yeah. If you think back to Krzyzewski, when you talk about the white boy that can do this, like J.J. Redick, and then just think of all the different
bro, even Duke Grayson players. Allen.
Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Bobby Hurley, like, they always had that type of player. Like, that was the guy that Coach K needed for his system and for things to run smooth.
But it's like in the NFL, right? You get a wide receiver from LSU.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, yo, he's going to be nice.
Or Ohio State.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be fine. Got one.
Oh, you offensive lineman from Wisconsin and Iowa? All right, we'll be good. Our right guard's going to be solidified.
run blocking is locked in.
Yeah, we'll be all right. Nah, that's true too, man. And then, like, there's no attachment where it used to be.
Like, vitriol.
Yeah.
You feel it. Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You don't have that, you know what I mean? Like you said, when it was a big game, if it was Georgetown-Syracuse, you knew all the players involved. You knew the coaches involved. Like, that kind of stuff, man, it just hasn't been there. And I think... I'm praying that NIL helps to bring it back. I'm praying that, you know, when this money gets to the point where these kids are like, I don't have to go. I do like it here. I can get better because it makes for a better product in the league. These dudes are learning how to play. They're learning how to play on a team. They're learning about travel and also now they're learning how to manage their money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting $1 million, but it's like, okay, well, maybe he could make his mistakes in college while he still has a bubble and is halfway protected versus when you get to the league and you get $10 million and nobody's there to help you or hold your hand and say, that was a bad decision. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that kind of stuff. College, that is one of the main things that makes college beneficial to athletes. You know, staying, it does do something because you grow as a man. Like, bro, and I can speak to everybody in this room. It's three men in this room. If you would have given any of us $20 to $30 million at 19, it'd be nothing but fuckery. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's
bro,
it's
you like, give me $20-$30 million today, this is gonna be fuckery. Of course, I talk about that shit all the time.
Yeah.
These kids come out, right? We sound like an old head now, but they get drafted, they're 18, 19, 20. Honestly, I'll give you to like 25.
25, bro. I was going to say 25.
And you're making $100 million a year. Bro, Cam and Mace talk about this all the time because, like, you've seen all these young NBA guys getting these older women pregnant.
Yeah.
And, like, even, like, Trayvon Diggs in the NFL, too. And
daggone it, Drea.
It's like all these dudes, right? They're so young. They don't know, like, what to do with all this money, bro. They were just, like, starving.
Yeah.
And now you could get the girl you've always wanted. Now you could get into any nightclub you want. You could get any car you want. You're going to act the fool.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them.
And it's not, as honestly, it's not fair for us to judge them acting.
It's not.
That's the thing that
it's
always
not.
Upsets me.
It's not. And the thing you could judge is the people around them.
Yeah.
And also, if they're the type of people that can't get checked by someone, yo, bro, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
You're about to throw all of this away for a fucking Lamborghini that, you know, you don't even know how to drive, bro. Like, you know, I'm just saying, giving you hypotheticals.
Legit.
Like, you need another chain, dude? Why don't you invest in a property, or, you know, and have your brother who's not doing anything run the building or some shit, you know, like having
because
people
they
like
have
that.
They have, like, that's the thing, man. Like, I don't think people really understand, like, you have that kind of money where it's like, no, we could set ourselves up for real, like not on some, oh, we good, but like, no, I'm good, you're good, mama good, next generation's good, like on a couple checks, like NBA checks now, bro, like literally, okay, I'll put it to you like this. If I was in the league right now, every check I would be buying a McDonald's or buying something because you have the money to do that. Like every time, every city that I go to, I would be buying real estate in those cities, every single one. You know what I'm saying? Because those are the kind of things that will be everlasting for you. Your money will never disintegrate. You McDonald's, even if you do need to sell it, you can still sell it and still make a profit off of it. You know what I mean? Like buy the things that won't go away. Like put your money in the dirt. But everybody got to buy a chain. You know what I mean?
And yo, bro, listen, man, I get it too. Like I'd probably buy, not probably, 100%, I'd buy some dumb shit if I just stumbled on $10, $20 million tomorrow. Like,
sure.
Yeah, I'm going to go buy
trips.
Yeah, like, I'm not into jewelry, so maybe it won't be jewelry.
Jewelry, we're past that age.
I might buy, like, 3 cars.
Oh, for sure.
I might buy, like,
ignorant.
I'll definitely go and, like, fly all my people out to Vegas and, like, go on a gambling bender just to have people tell me that I don't know what I'm doing with my money. Shut up, bro. Slap you with a stack of fucking...
We getting more tomorrow.
Stack of hundreds.
Stack of hundreds. You know. Now, I will say the one thing, especially, like, now that we've learned a lot of other stuff, we know how much stuff people will give you. Like, how much stuff is given away?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, in terms of clothes, shoes, that kind of stuff.
Bro, dudes get cars because they just give a shout out to the dealership.
Yep. That's like, right.
So how are you spending your money on cars?
That, man, I be trying to tell them. I'm like, bro, like, they'll give you the car.
Yeah.
Like, tonight. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, little stuff, too. Sometimes I feel like people just want to do it because they can.
And then if you run into the people that want to show that they're friends with athletes,
yeah.
Oh, bro, you could rob them blind. And like politely, too. Just being cool with them, they'll just roll the red carpet out
for
you.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but there's people like that, too, that'll just be up your ass because, you know, I'm cool with Pat.
Yeah.
I'm cool with Mahomes. I'm at all the games. And it's like, whenever Mahomes needs a favor...
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame the young kids, man, when they get money. Like, I know for a fact I'm going to do some dumb shit also. And I just turned 33 years old.
Yeah.
So listen, we can get into this a lot more deeper another time. But favorites in round 2 of March Madness went 15-1 straight up, 11-5 against the spread. The only team to lose outright as a favorite was Baylor.
Mm.
Basically, if you just parlayed big favorites all weekend, you probably was
right.
Printing. Because, like, yo, bro, look, -410. No one wants to bet that, right? Arizona. Shout out to me. I got a 11-1 futures on Arizona.
Okay. All right.
One of my boys back home, I was like, yo, who do you like? I got $70 to play with. He's like, I like Arizona, bro. I was like, all right, cool. I'm sold.
Okay.
So now I'm a Wildcat now.
Okay.
I'm down.
All right. shout out bringing Mike Bibby on the show next week. So
it's a good omen.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, this might be a good omen.
Hey. All right. Because next week will be next weekend. Well, by this time next week we should be in the Elite Eight or possibly even
Final Four. Yeah.
Final Four.
The Final Four. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and look, a lot of money's wagering on this. They equate the March Madness opening weekend to almost any like NFL week.
Outside of Super Bowl.
Outside of Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like...
It's up there.
Close to a Super Bowl.
I should say it's
actually the closest thing to a Super Bowl. So it actually surpasses like week 7.
Yeah. I believe it. I mean, look, March Madness is the official start to the Vegas busy season. So this, you know, this past week was the first wave of like...
Well, the pool parties.
The people starting to come back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously it calms back down. Then, you know, Final Four, people come back again. Then Masters. Then, okay, it goes down again. Then, oh, it's Cinco de Mayo. And then after it hits Cinco de Mayo, it's going to be chitty, chitty, bang, bang for the rest of the week. So, yeah, it's that time. Vegas is about to get hot.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, staying with the betting, right, and in basketball, I want to talk about a lot of conversations happening in the NBA and on like NBA Twitter with regards to gambling and betting.
Mm-hmm.
So
player props, parlays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about the influence of betting now in the sports world? Let's start with that.
I think first off, for me, I think it's cool. It's been amazing because, you know, your Joe Blow average fan has been doing well. So many people are in the space now. You know, you're in this space, both from sports, but then also from a betting perspective. I have friends, you know, that are making a killing both as you know, bettors, but then also as influencers, selling their bets, those kinds of things. So I've seen it change a lot of people's lives. You know what I'm saying? But from, I guess from, we have to always know that it's just betting. And we can't, I think what you're getting at, you know, it can't turn into, oh, you're a horrible person because you missed your prop by 2 points or 1 point, or you didn't get me an assist or those kind of things. And you start judging or condemning players. Players don't care about those numbers. Players care about winning. That's it. So, you know, if it's running contrary to that, and then it starts to affect players or how they view the game or those kinds of things, it's very damaging, very dangerous.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I hope the people that listen to the show and the community that we're building, they don't do that, because I've never done that. I've never DM'd an athlete and been like, yo, fuck you, you piece of shit. How'd you blow that layup? Like, no, I've never done that.
You might think it.
I've definitely thought it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone is mad when their parlay don't hit.
Listen, a lot of times what's thought and what's said are two different things.
But you have obviously a level of decorum. You have
you got to keep it,
common sense.
Yeah, bro.
I made the bet. Like, how am I mad at you and I put my money up?
Yeah, for sure. But the attack in the player is on social media. Mm-hmm. But now you're seeing it. They're being attacked and coaching staffs are being attacked in person.
Yeah.
So JB Bickerstaff of the Cavs, he was complaining about betting a couple weeks ago. And I don't know his quote exactly, but he was saying how he was being heckled in a game that the Cavs were comfortably winning.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans were telling him to put certain players back in for their parlays and their props and all this shit. And he just addressed it. As far as like, yo, it's gotten out of hand. If you go back a couple of years ago, there was a story Eric Spoelstra said, Victor Oladipo.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Oladipo, like, dude, I used to be a huge Oladipo guy. Like, when he went to the Pacers, he went back to the Hoosier State, and he was playing over there. And dude was all NBA, bro. Like, he was, I said he's not going to win MVP, but he's an MVP candidate.
He was, like, he was, you know, one of the top three teams in the league.
So Spoelstra tells a story about how he was threatened if he didn't put Oladipo back in to, like, hit his prop or whatever it might be.
Sure.
And remember, Oladipo was coming back off injury, so he was on a minutes restriction.
Always injuries.
So, and then I'd say most famously and most recently, like, if you're looking at it from a player standpoint, Halliburton on the Pacers.
Yes.
He said that, man, now everyone just cares about their bets and their parlays and their props. Now, I'm going to attack this two different ways.
Okay.
I don't agree with what he's saying, but I understand.
It might feel that way.
Might feel that way.
Yeah.
But let's not be naive if you're the player and if you're the league. That betting isn't a massive reason as to why people are interested in games on a nightly basis.
Every game. Every game has thousands of bets.
Thousands of bets.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's the be-all, end-all, because I was a sports fan way before I started betting. But I've been betting on sports way longer than that.
Yeah.
Like, my thing now is, and I don't bet on every game. I don't bet on every fight. That's one thing that I've done really well over the last couple of years is I don't just bet the Monday Night Football game because it's Monday Night Football. And that's a big mistake. That's where you get gambling versus betting. Mm-hmm. I'm someone that thinks there's a difference between the two. I get conflicting reports. I ask 10 different people this, you'll get 10 different answers. I personally think that gambling, and I'll give you an example right now. Gambling is, yo, bro, we got to bet. Why? We're going to the bar. It's Thursday Night Football, dude. It's Chargers Giants. Yeah, but I don't like anything in this game. Come on, dude. There got to be a rushing prop. No, there's not anything I like. You go and bet anyway. Like, I'm taking... Shit, I don't even know who the running backs are for both teams. I was going to say Eckler and Barkley, but they're not even on the team. But you're taking the rushing yards. You're taking the passing yards. That is gambling. And I have a lot of friends that gamble. Okay. Betting is, I'm going to bet. I love the Bengals -3, bro. I can't believe they're 3-point favorites. You know, Texans got 3 offensive linemen out.
Mm. It can
you
get
got Henderson.
Hand. Yeah.
Hendrickson, I mean, like, they're playing on the road. Like, this line should be 6. You see, there's input there. There's analysis. There's insight, right? There's also knowing the game. Like,
there's reason.
Yo, there's 3 offensive linemen missing. Bengals are number 3 in the league. And I'm just throwing out numbers to make my case.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between gambling and betting, in my opinion. And I think it's a real thing that all these leagues, bro, are in bed with sports books.
That's right.
And what I mean by in bed with sports books is
having sports books in the arena.
I don't know how many have them in the arena yet. I know overseas, internationally, it's a ton.
Well, no. Now I want to say probably about 10 or 15. It's getting there.
I would have to look into that. I'm not really familiar with that. I don't know the answer. But I mean, you could have the app on your phone. So it's essentially the same thing, right? Like, you don't have a window, but it's like, yo, Josh, can you put this bet in for me?
Right now.
Like, it's fine, right? But bro, how many leagues and teams are sponsored by FanDuel and DraftKings and Caesars?
Yep.
So they're making money off that because the interest in your games and your TV ratings are going up is because there's a gambling aspect to it, bro. Yeah. I'll never forget this. Thursday Night Football game. Remember the Falcons played the Bucks like maybe a decade ago and Atlanta blew them out like 49-0.
Okay.
It was a Thursday night game. Julio made a ridiculous, like, crazy catch where, like, it was a wild game. I love Julio Jones. That's why I had to shout my guy Julio double sticks. But my mom comes downstairs. She's like, yo, why are you watching this game? I was like, I got to watch it till the end. She's like, fantasy and betting, right? I go, yeah. She goes, yeah, you should have been turned this game off. Like, it's 49-0, you know?
Yeah.
And that always stuck in my mind because I'm like, that's true. You know, Jaguars Titans on Thursday Night Football. Why are you watching that, bro? For your fantasy team or the betting? And you might say not that many people do it. Well, if there's 300 million people in the country, they say 180 million people have betting apps on their phones.
That's crazy.
That's a high percentage of people. Now, it's not saying that more than half. Yeah. It's not saying that all those people are betting. Because, like, bro, my mom has a betting app on her phone. She don't bet. But there's times where I'm like, yo, mom, did you get that bonus from so-and-so? Like, can we, you know, hit that or whatever it might be? My grandma has betting apps. She don't bet. But I had to take advantage of bonuses and shit, lie, cheat, and steal, do what we got to do in order to get this money. That's what I did. Shout out to the sportsbook stimulus checks, January 2022. Listen, never forget. The streets don't forget. And by streets, I mean me. So, look, man. I know I'm being silly and being long-winded. I do think that the betting aspect brings money to them as well.
Yeah, 1,000%.
I also think it's ridiculous to threaten a player, to call them a racial slur or any kind of slur because they blew a layup and they didn't hit your bet. That, and especially when you do it on a public forum, I think that's a problem. And it goes back to one of my favorite sporting events of all time, Malice at the Palace. Because I guarantee you, if the players were able to retaliate when someone calls them a punk-ass bitch or whatever it might be. Maybe that might be passive, right? But, like, we're talking about the shit that, like, Westbrook hears in Utah.
Which
I'm not going to repeat for obvious reasons. Yeah. But that kind of – if the fan knows that Westbrook could retaliate with no repercussions, I think you eliminate a lot of those conversations.
Yeah.
If you knew for a fact that, like, yo, bro, he might come and – charge the way Meta World Peace did and Steven Jackson.
I might have to smell his cologne.
Yeah. I think that would negate a lot of things, man. I'm telling you, that would be, if I was ever a sports commissioner for all the commissioners, fans in the back of your ticket, there's a waiver. There's a waiver.
You can be sad.
Now, I'm not saying for LeBron to just go into the third row and slap someone because he feels like it. But nah, like, you say something about his wife, you say something about his kids, you provoke him to that point. Like, how many times has LeBron and players been like, yo, bro, that dude in the Knicks 31 jersey, I get him out. And then the ref would call security to get you out.
And get you out.
And if you don't leave, the team gets a technical foul, right? Like, there's all these other things where I think if you knew for a fact, let me ask you, if you knew that an athlete could come over to the fan side and whoop your ass.
Hey, I'd say bring them on because we got this on camera, baby.
But I'm saying
that side of the thing.
No.
Please come over here and slap me.
But that's where you're missing the point, bro.
I'm right here.
Nah, you just missed the point that I was making. If you knew for a fact that there'd be no repercussions, like, you can't sue them.
Oh, because it's got
that's
the
waiver what the
on
waiver
back.
On the back is.
Hey, yeah no,
that's
no,
why.
No,
that's
no,
why
no.
I was saying. Like,
no, you're right. You're right. No,
you're
no,
not
no,
acting
no.
that way.
I'm definitely not acting out if I know that I can be slapped.
Okay.
So then it's gonna
negate the heckling and all the chants and all the wild shit that you hear fans say.
Yeah.
Oftentimes,
definitely bring it down.
That is a real thing that won't be happening, bro. Because now they know, they think like you. Yo, please come and whoop my ass. Because we have 900,000 cameras in the arena, and then we have all these cell phones, so someone's going to catch it.
Oh, that's being recorded.
Now I just cashed the check. However, if you knew for a fact that, yo, if he comes over to the side and whoops my ass, I ain't getting shit for it. And guess what? You might be banned from the arena, bro.
And this is my home team. That would be a struggle.
I think that's something that needs to be considered, man. But, something that needs to be considered. And with the players, to your point earlier, they want to just win. They'll get the job done. And sometimes it's just you're going to lose your bets, bro. You're going to lose your $25 bet that potentially could have won you $2,000. Like, don't bet then. That's what I tell my friends. I have some friends that be like, yo, bro, I hope the bus, like, steers off the road. We're like, bro, how much did you bet, dude? $25. Here, let me Venmo it to you. Like, what are we doing, bro?
You know what I'm saying?
It's just weird shit. Like, don't bet then, dude.
Yeah.
Like, don't bet. I have friends that, like, they can't, and there's probably people listening to the show that they can't bet. They gamble, right? Like, they have to. They just need to fix.
Yeah.
And, bro, like, it's the worst addiction on the planet, man. Yeah. I really do think it's the worst one because it's the only one that you could win. And in a lot of people's mind, winning is monetary. And then that's why there's such a big addicting component, aspect to it.
Yeah, component to it, for sure. To what you were saying, so JB said, this is what he actually said. He said, they got my telephone number and were sending me crazy messages about where I live and my kids and all that stuff. So it is a dangerous game and a very fine line that we're walking, for sure. He said, it brings added pressure. It brings a distraction to the game that can be difficult for players, coaches, referees, everybody that's involved in it. And I think that we really have to be careful with how close we let it get to the game and the security of the people who are involved. Yeah.
I feel them, bro. That's why I was saying it. Because then it sours the people like me, right? Like, when you meet people and they ask you, what do you do? And you say, you're in the space, is what you do. And I've never described myself as a professional bettor. I've never claimed to make my money just off betting and, like, living.
Yeah.
But my approach to betting is very professional.
Professional.
Every professional bettor I've ever met, and I talk to them about betting and my betting patterns and what I look for, they're like, oh, dude, you're sharp. I've even been told that I should do it full time. And I'm like, nah, man, I like using the content, talking about the content. I get the same fix that you might get when you hit your bet, when I have a fan hit me up and be like,
great,
love that call, bro. Mm-hmm. Good shit, here's a screenshot of the ticket. I feel like I won, because then that's going to draw people to the show. That's always been my thinking, right? Like, even before it was legalized, I was like, man. And that kind of helped me a lot, dude, because I used to gamble. Like, dude, I worked at a pizzeria. I made $500 a week. I was gambling $475 of it. Like, it was bad.
Yeah.
Right? And then when I started creating the content, that's why I've always said, like, content creating has saved my life, because I don't know where I would have been if I didn't have it. Like, I wouldn't have been in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to find a career. And who knows where my gambling habits would have went to. Mm. Now, you're talking about, this is years of me doing it, and every week betting parlays is not working, bro. It's not working, bro. Start straight betting them. Bet more on the games you do like. Bet less on the ones that, and look, I'm not going to tell you, I don't go, if me, you, George, and Austin, we go to the bar and, you know, you guys all are on a bet, I'll throw $20 on it, which is, I call it my beer money. Just to, yo, let's root for the Lakers tonight, bro. We're all going to be here watching the game. Like, I don't want to be the guy betting against it, which is the worst person to have, right? There's nothing worse than when the whole crew has one side and then you're the asshole that has the other. And then when you do win, there's 9 people miserable and you're happy. Like, I don't like being that guy, too.
I don't mind being
If I
guy.
Do, nah, bro, listen, man, true story. If I like a side, like, yo, the Rams-Bengals Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I was the only one of my friends on the Rams. And they knew it from the beginning of the year. They were my Super Bowl pick. I had futures on them. So Bengals are scoring points. They're going crazy. And I was kind of just like that. And then when the Rams were scoring points, I kind of was like that too. But when Aaron Donald made that play on fourth down, I did turn around and looked at all of them and went, I saved that shit for the whole game, baby. I did. Listen.
Didn't go D-Generation X.
Oh, full Triple H just throwing up the X, bro, just like that. Break it down.
Oh, my God. Time to play the game. That's too good.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add on this NBA stuff, man? Because we do need to address the elephant in the room.
No. We can go ahead and partake in the sadness that is Mr. Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani. One of us. You are one of us. This could potentially be a massive, massive story, if it isn't already.
It's getting worse.
My personal take on the whole thing is, when I saw it and I started getting the details, his interpreter is the fall guy. These are all Ohtani's bets. Now, again, these are my thoughts only. I think Ohtani is a degenerate gambler. I think he loves to dabble. And I think the fall guy is going to be the interpreter because the league and the Dodgers are like, bro, we just gave you 700 M's. You're kind of the face of our league. I would say if any player walked down the road, you know, walked by the wind that played in the MLB, and it's crazy because they're both Dodgers, I'd say it's Mookie Betts and him that I would recognize and be like, oh, shit, that's Betts, that's Ohtani. So it's going to be great when them two are standing next to each other. It'll be like Ohtani Betts on the back of the jerseys, mm-hmm. You know, like a black dick with the Raptors.
Ohtani Betts, that's... That was good.
That was good.
Good job. I didn't follow.
Yeah.
you had to spell it out. I was like, oh.
Guaranteed that's going to be a meme coming soon, bro, that's if not already. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to put this shit out there first. Ohtani Betts, when it's going to be them two standing next to each other when they're doing the national anthem. Remember that shit first, bro. Remember that shit first. Now, look, it's great that I have you on the show because we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. I personally don't have a problem with you, if you're an athlete, with you betting on other sports. No problem whatsoever. Yo, have fun, bro. You come to Vegas with your boys in the offseason. You guys gamble because, you know, let's use some players that we know are like friends cross sports, right? Like
Jamal Hill's friends with Max Crosby.
And different,
you know what I mean? He has a few different NFL friends.
Okay, cool. Let's use that as an example, right? Say Max Crosby decides to put $10,000 on Jamal in his main event fight.
Yeah.
Like, why shouldn't he? Why can't he? Like, that is what personally upsets me. Nick Dayus, a 33-year-old content creator. I'm speaking for myself here. I want to make that very clear. That upsets me. Now, if Jamal was betting on his fight, that would upset me. If Jamal was betting on how his fight was going to end, that would upset me. If Max Crosby was betting on the Raiders, that would, even if it's pro your team, right? Mm-hmm. Like Pete Rose, all the allegations were, you know, he was betting for us to win.
I only bet on us to win.
Yeah. I still don't like that if you're betting in your league. That I understand, that you're signing these contracts. I get it. Like there's an integrity aspect. Like I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten the full report on whether or not there's baseball games on there. Is it Baccarat? Like, what is it that he's gambling on? Because it could be that too, bro. Like, Jordan had a gambling addiction. He wasn't betting on NBA, but he was betting golf matches. He was betting, you know, craps table, blackjack, all that stuff in Atlantic City. So it's been around. Charles Barkley, the same thing. He said that he's blown millions of dollars on gambling.
Yeah.
It's a vice that a lot of people have. And it could be fun too, bro. Like, don't get it twisted. For me, it's fun, but it wasn't for so long. It became fun after the fact. After years of being pummeled and being realizing that, like, yo, bro, this shit sucks, man. I just worked 40 hours and now I owe it to my bookie. That shit blows, bro.
Dang.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, that's how it was. It's
tough,
man.
Times, baby.
Tough times, bro. It's easier to have these conversations now because I turned it into something.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with like me dropping out of college. I wasn't saying that when I first dropped out.
Yeah.
Now it's like a badge of honor. Like, yeah, bro, I dropped out.
Yeah.
What's up? Look what I'm doing. Lapping people left and right. Double lapping some people, you know? But
me again.
It, yeah. Woohoo. We're back. In case you missed us the first time. But, yo, I think this scandal, it could be a federal crime.
Oh, listen, I heard offshore accounts, I was like, uh-oh.
Well, it's a lot more common than you think.
Okay. All
so, right, like, I'll give you an example. Like, any bookie ever, when he gives you a website,
mm-hmm.
it's an offshore account. Mm. Hell, I'll go a step further. Me and you could start offshore accounts tomorrow.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, that's no problem.
If me and you had $100,000 each, right? I'm just like, yo, bro, what could we do with this money? Granted, super illegal, could get in massive trouble. It's not as common now as it was maybe a decade ago because of how prevalent sports betting is and how legal it is.
Yes.
But just to stay on this topic, me and you have $200,000 pooled together. Like, yo, bro, we know a lot of people that gamble. Let's go to set up some account in Costa Rica or Puerto Rico, somewhere in the Caribbean.
Cayman Islands.
And we'll call it joshandnickbets.com. And we start giving everyone at Sticky Paws betting accounts. We give all the people that I work out with at Syndicate. We give them a line of credit. And we limit them. No one could hit a parlay more than $5,000. No matter what the odds are. $300. Even if they put $5,000 on the parlay. Now we're going to limit them. No one can make a bet larger than $500. No one can make a bet larger than $300. And they have a credit limit. Like a credit card.
Yeah.
Except with the credit card, you can't do minimum payments. You got to pay me next Thursday because that's the day that we're collecting our money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you hear offshore, what offshore means.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not as popular. Like, dude, I haven't used an offshore account since sports betting went legal.
Okay.
Haven't had to. And even before then, I had stopped betting for like 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when I was first starting out the pod, because again, I was getting my fix through
the podcast,
and it was just as fulfilling. And then I got back into it because I was like, "Oh, I'm doing pretty well with the NFL picks. Like, let's dabble." You know, yeah. it was a 4 year sample size of me doing well.
Yeah,
it wasn't just a 1 year kind of thing. So the offshore stuff, when you hear offshore accounts, that's what they mean. And they're not as popular as they once were, but they're still prevalent, man. They're still around, and people still dabble in them. And I always recommend to people, if you're going to get into the betting space, mm-hmm. don't do that. Don't fuck with bookies. Don't fuck with the offshore stuff. It's better to have your app. You make a deposit with money you have. Don't make bets with money you might owe.
Mm-hmm.
It's way... Bro,
things can go left.
If I got no plans this weekend, like I have a budget in my head of a certain number where I'm like, every week, if I spend this much money on the week, cool, no problem. All the bills are paid. Everything's cool. This is my recreational money. I might go on a shopping spree that weekend and just blow it all on sneakers. I might, you know, taking this girl out to dinner. That's probably going to take $300-$400, whatever the number might be, right? Especially in Vegas, everything's fucking $300.
Lord have mercy.
Amen to that. So, but there's been weekends where I'm like, probably going to bet all weekend. I got a UFC pay-per-view, I got soccer games, and I got the NFL. Like,
yeah.
Probably not going to buy no clothes. That X amount of money that I planned on being my recreational money for the week is going to go to betting. And then I'll deposit it on there. If I lose it, I lose it. If I win it, cool, I'll take it back out. Now I'm playing with house money, building off that. So I get asked that a lot about how to approach betting. And look, man, if you're young or even if you're my age too, like you might not want to hear that. It's your money. You want to do what you want with it. I'm just telling you my experiences and what's worked out for me.
Yeah. Don't burn money.
Yeah.
It's just
what do you think happens with Ohtani?
Like you said, face of the league, you know, and it was interesting that the way that you open it where you were saying that the interpreter is the fall guy. That's the perfect opportunity to make him the fall guy because, truthfully, you already kind of handled it. Like, he got fired. He's not his interpreter anymore. He's already can be kind of moved back to Japan. So when he gets back to Japan, nobody's going to follow that story. That story is dead. You know what I'm saying? So essentially, if you make it like Ohtani wasn't involved, then he kind of goes away unscathed. But man, if he is, that's not good.
What I think ultimately happens is if it turns out that it was the interpreter, it's a non-story. It's just Ohtani's attached to it and he's the big name.
Yep.
So it becomes a big deal, right? Like, yep. How many times have you seen someone gets in trouble and it's so-and-so's friend or so-and-so's brother. Like, the lead is man arrested 28 years old for domestic abuse. He's also the brother of all-pro safety so-and-so, right? That's like, right. They'll lead with that. So the hook is Ohtani's interpreter.
Yeah.
If it turns out that it's Ohtani's interpreter that did this, we probably forget about it in a month.
Yeah, May.
Even earlier.
Yeah, right? Yeah, truthfully, in today's cycle.
But, bro, if it's Ohtani, oh, boy. if it's Ohtani making these bets and these wagers, and God forbid for his sake, it's MLB games that he played in, dude, you're talking about Pete Rose 2.0. You're talking about probably bigger than Pete Rose, because Pete Rose was the first of his kind. So we saw the fuck up and the fallout from that.
And Pete Rose wasn't playing at that point either. He was managing.
Right.
Totally different.
Totally different. Like, you actually got your hands on the ball.
Yeah.
And you're fucking initiating everything.
Yeah.
Like, that is where it could get really, really ugly if it is Ohtani. And then does the contract get voided if he gets suspended, or if they kick him out, they ban him from the league?
See, I don't, that, and that's my thing. Like you said, the fall guy, that can't happen. Whether that's the truth or not, you got a perfectly good box. Keep it in that box, ship it back to Japan and say, don't do this again. and just monitor him as much as you can. Because if it doesn't, Nick, you're right. It's like that, especially in today's cycle, they won't let that breathe till June. Like, it'll be every day. Ohtani watch. It would be bad.
And bro, and listen, I think it's him.
I think so too.
I think it's Ohtani, and he's setting up his boy. Like I always say, be your own. This is what I mean by it. It's always your own people. And he's going to be the fall guy, because he might be like, yo, bro, I'll take care of you and your family.
Yeah.
You go to jail for a couple of years.
But that's my thing. I don't.
We don't know. I'm just saying, like, worst case scenario.
Do you think he would? I think he goes back to Japan and it goes away.
Oh, he won't face jail time unless it's Ohtani betting on MLB. That's like a federal crime.
Okay, okay.
And also, the baseball contract is they don't want you betting on sports, period. Which is what we were talking about before, where I disagree. I think that's being a little too harsh.
Yeah.
That I'm not a fan of. Go and bet. If he's boys with fucking Jokic and he wants to go bet on the Nuggets to win the finals, by all means, go and do that. Dude, Mayweather does this all the time. Like, what difference is it that when Mayweather does it and he bets like a random ass thing and he'll show his tickets and then like Mattress Mack. I know he's not a pro athlete, but he's become, you know, the Vegas Dave dude who makes all these crazy bets. And shit, like, that's where I think it's too harsh. But, man, to put an end to this conversation in this episode, I personally think it's Ohtani. The interpreter is being set up to be the fall guy. And I think you have a story that is just getting started, bro. Because you're also going to have a lot of people that are going to be, like, conspiracy theorists, like me.
Oh, for sure.
I'll be like, man, how much did they throw him to be the fall guy? Because that's what I think. I truly think that Ohtani is the guy that's making these bets. And if he's making bets on other sports, I have no problem with it. But if he's betting on the MLB, that's where I strongly disagree. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. This was a fun conversation. This was a fun episode. Shouts to Josh, the American Fan 365 is where you can find him on all social media outlets. Plug your personal.
Yeah, man. You said my personal?
Yeah.
I don't never put my personal out there.
Oh, nah? Okay.
No, never. Look, personal ain't getting me paid, baby. The American Fan 365 is where you can find me. Please make sure you like, share, subscribe. Got the Jersey Jam. We're in the round two of the Jersey Jam. So, Nick, your powder blue Chargers jersey is up against powder blue Indiana State Larry Bird.
Oh, I mean, come on, man.
So it's
like,
so
what are we even doing if we're having this conversation?
It's a blue matchup in round two, so you'll see that shortly. I'm about to post everything once I get out of here, but excited for that. Really good engagement. So excited for another couple days with the Jersey Jam. So
hell yeah, man. Yeah, that's been fun. That's been fun to monitor. I don't agree with all the results, but
at all. Trust you ain't the only one.
I understand. Patreon.com/veteransminimum to support the show. Gonna announce what the giveaway is gonna be for April. With all the changes going on, didn't really do a giveaway for March, but I'm gonna do two giveaways in April to make up for it. So the helmet, still waiting for Derek Platees to reach out to us. Shouts to Derek. He won the helmet. George and I did the drawing in this very room last week. So for April, we're going to give away two things. Not sure exactly what it's going to be yet, but stay tuned over the next week or so. We'll see what we give out. So, yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Rate, comment, review, subscribe, repost, share the content. It goes a long, long way to building the show. And we'll catch you guys next time.
In his element, I'm a gold medalist, bronze like your medal is. So many deer in headlights, but it's bedtime. Hear that supper bell, main course, beat a venison.
Zab, most dangerous game. Either kill or be killed.